Like you were just sitting there vibing
vibing.
in your element, looking great. You were giving business chic. And that energy, it just radiated off of you to where by the end of the night, people were buying you drinks and making you cakes and giving you flowers. I love it.
Basically.
I love it. I'm so glad you had a great birthday. I really am. I really am. Thank you for sharing that story.
Oh, anytime, girl. Anytime.
Yes. And you, I mean, this new year is already looking great on you. You are absolutely glowing.
Oh, yeah.
Glowing.
100%. Yeah.
Glowing.
Yes.
Cheekbones sitting.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, girl.
You made it to the show, girl.
Yes. Let's get into it, girl. Let's get into it. Let me get my notes.
Okay. The day I finished my last treatment, I thought I'd feel relieved. Instead, I just felt lost.
Someone asked me recently, are you back to normal now? And I realized there is no normal anymore.
Sometimes life has a way of drawing a line through your story. There's a before, and then there's an after.
Today, we're talking about who we became after crossing that line.
I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Chantal.
This is Everything After. Welcome back to everyone who has been with us this far. And if this is your first time listening, we are so glad you found us.
Up until now, we've shared some of the big chapters: our diagnosis, what treatment looked like, and even our birth stories.
The one thing that we haven't really touched on is who we were before all of that. And honestly, you kind of need that context to really understand just how much changed.
And in a weird way, talking about the past actually feels easier than talking about who we are now, because the past feels settled, but figuring out the after is still very much a work in progress.
So today we are going to take you through the full journey. Ooh, the journey. Who we were before, what it was like when treatment ended, and who we are now, or I guess who we're becoming.
We promise this isn't just going to be a highlight reel or inspirational quotes. This is the real stuff, the messy, the surprising, the complicated parts of living in the after. All right, girl. So let's start at the beginning. Who were we before our world got flipped upside down? Give us a story of what your day-to-day life looked like before all this.
Girl.
Girl.
Honestly, that feels like an eternity ago. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I might have to go through my phone and look at pictures.
Yeah.
For one, I was super type A. I would have been very prepared for this episode back then. I would have had my notes ready, but now I don't jot down many notes, as we have all come to realize. But no, I think my day-to-day looked like I really wore kind of being a working mom, like as a badge of honor, you know? I was very much in my girl boss era, and so was really trying to climb the ladder at work and, you know, super, super ambitious and really wanting to just kind of work and have this, I guess, illusion of like, oh, I've made it. I work from home primarily during that time. And so I was working. My kid, I think, had just started a preschool. So I felt like I was finally kind of starting to get some of my time back, and that I could be able to focus on more projects. I had a candle business. I have a candle business. At the time, it was doing really well. And I was really excited about kind of some of the scents I was coming up with and people's response to it. And so I felt like I was really in a good spot of both being really solid at work and then also kind of diving into entrepreneurship. It felt like it was a really good, exciting season in my life. And I think we were just finally getting into a really good rhythm too, just as a family. You know, we became parents at, like, at the height of COVID. And so really didn't have, you know, the support system that we would have liked because everybody was still kind of locked down. So we were just kind of figuring it out as we went along, not really sure if we were doing it the right way or whatever. And so I do feel like we were in that, in a getting to a space where we were finally starting to, you know, meet other people who have kids the same age as our kid. And it felt like we were finally starting to build that village that you need as a, as a new parent. I don't want to say it was easy, but it definitely felt like I was on the right track of I remember, okay, this is going to sound silly, but before in 2019, I did like a, leadership class. Maybe it was 2018. 2018. I did like a leadership class through my job, and they had us do like this 3-year plan, and we had to like present it in front of the class. So all the things like on my 3-year plan, it was like, I want to get my graduate degree. I want to do this. I want to, you know, get promoted at work. And so around the time, like around like within the, like this, around that time, maybe 6 months prior to me being diagnosed, I had hit pretty much all of those milestones at like the same exact time. So it just felt like, oh, look at you. Look at your girl. Okay, girl. Like it felt, it was very much like a, wow, I set these goals and I am killing them. Who gonna check me, boo? Like that's how it felt. It was very much a girl boss era. I was in a space where I felt like, well, wow, what is she gonna do next?
What's gonna be her next move?
Yes, it was in that space. And then in the span of 6 months, the universe was like, girl,
the universe was like, you want to find out what your next move is? Okay.
All right. Because literally within the span of 6 months, the bottom floor of my house flooded. So we were displaced for 3 months. I found out I was pregnant and then I got cancer. So it was very much I experienced in very quick fashion to just have really extreme highs and just really extreme lows. You know, it's a big high because we're pregnant, but it's also a low because we're sick. It was an interesting time. It was an exciting time until it wasn't.
Yes.
What about you, girl? What was Shan doing in the before times?
Girl, I think I've said it before, or at least touched on it before, but just very much a classic introvert at heart.
Which I find that extremely hard to believe, but go on.
Oh, yeah. Until, you know, I had my extrovert moment the other day. But yeah, introvert at heart. I'm definitely a homebody. I'm either going to be at work or home. There's no other place that I'm going to be. Then it definitely got more exciting once finding out that I was pregnant with my son, Ethan. And then getting engaged, and we were, you know, planning our wedding and stuff like that. So that was that's where it picked up and got exciting. And it was like, oh, okay, we're doing something different. I was just very, plain Jane kind of girl. Now, I did not know the dramatics of cancer to be like, what you going to do with your life, girl? When you going to find your purpose, girl? I did not need something as dramatic as that. But here we are. So yeah, that was kind of it, really. I was just, you know, homebody, just watch my shows, watch my films. I love watching rom-coms. That's my...
Me too.
That's my go-to.
Also, first off, there's nothing plain Jane about you. Please stop.
No.
Stop the cap, as the kids would say.
If you'd have met before before. You'd have been girl.
Stop playing on my phone, please. Please stop playing on my Zoom. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Which leads me, if we bumped into our before selves at the grocery store, what would we think of each other?
That's a bomb ass question. Girl. I can see that in two different ways, because the person who I am now, like right now, is someone who is finally starting to figure out what life is like after cancer treatment. And it's taken a long time to get there. I think it's been maybe 2.5 years, maybe, since being diagnosed. And it's only been a year from since active treatment finished. So it's been a long journey to get to where I am now. So if I was to look at the person who I was just finishing cancer treatment, like if I met that person and then the version of me before cancer treatment. I think I'm going to be real. I think I'd just be sad to see that version of myself, actually.
Oh my God. Tell me more.
I think I'd probably look at that version of myself and be like, she's not living to her full potential. And I can see it. I can see it on her face. Which is why, like, the person that I am now, that's why I cut my hair and just wanted a different transformation. Because I looked at some of the pictures and some of the posts and I'm like, That's not me anymore. I looked in the mirror and I was like, I don't see myself anymore. I don't see Chantel. So when I cut my hair and, you know, washed it, curled it up, I looked in the mirror. I was like, yes, that's the person who I need to see. That person right there. And that was the moment for me where I'm like, okay, that old Chan has ended and this new one is about to begin. So that old version of myself, yeah, I think I'd look back and be like, ooh, that untapped potential, and she doesn't even realize it. She don't realize it. She don't know.
She don't know.
So that was warm question, girl.
Thank you, girl. Thank you, girl. Warm.
Yeah.
Thank you. How did that feel?
It felt good.
Okay. All right. You seem like you're warming up.
Yes. That question was what I needed.
Okay. Good.
Because I felt like I was just going to be like, yeah, I'm playing Jane. All right, Tiffany, you take it. Take it. Good.
Oh.
I need more in life. Tiffany, take it. Take it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You did great.
Yeah. We're getting there.
All right, we are back. So talking about who we are before, let's like zoom in a little bit. Is it zoom in? Are we zooming in? Zooming out? I don't know. Whatever. Treatment ends. You're done with treatment. Tell me what those first few days, few weeks were like. What was the aftermath like of you? You've had this experience. Your life will never be the same. What is that like?
I don't remember what time frame it was. I don't know if I was still going through treatment, or it was after I had radiotherapy, whenever that point was. But, you know, being told that from the latest scans that they can see, you know, I'm in remission. And I didn't want to celebrate. I think it was because I was about to go for radiotherapy. That's what it is. I didn't want to celebrate because I was like, things are still going on. And it had just been just a long road at that point. I was just like, I'm over it. Like, let me just get through radiotherapy and then we can deal with that then. And then I got to the end of radiotherapy and I was like, well, I genuinely can't bother to do anything now. I'm just going to go sit down somewhere and just try and process and try and get back to normal and, you know, do all that stuff. Now I can just realize just how stuck I was. You know, I tried to go back to normal, going back into work and whatever life was like before that. And it just wasn't working. It just wasn't going anywhere. And now that, you know, being out of hospital and my transfer of care is now in the community care, so I just go to my doctors when I need to. It's now completely different to advocate for yourself as a cancer survivor, because you just kind of feel like you've just been left to your own devices to let people know, you know, if you're medication's running out, or if you need a checkup, or if you need this. Whereas before, you was kind of going in there on a regular and you'd be like, okay, I'll wait till next time if I have any questions to talk about this. And I just feel like there is support, but there's no support in the sense of when you're released now into Gen Pop, you've got to deal with those after effects of cancer treatment by yourself. And for us, what makes it different is not only were we dealing with after effects of cancer treatment and still dealing with it now in whatever, you know, fashion it comes up in, you know, we were dealing with postpartum as well. And you had a hysterectomy, did you have?
Yes.
Yes. You had a hysterectomy. I'm dealing with menopause. So then all that's something as well. And that's something to, I can't even say get used to, but we need to figure out what the symptoms are before we can get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a toll on your physical health, emotional, just everything. So it was a struggle. And still is to figure that out as you're just going along with life. And, you know, there's always it gets easier. I can't even say it gets easier. There's just moments where I forget, because I'm doing something else, and then I'm quickly reminded of what it is that we've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a text, or you'll see a hospital letter, or for me, I don't have any breasts because I've had a mastectomy. So, like, you know, changing clothes or whatever, I'm like, oh, okay. Clothes just look differently now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a constant reminder of what it is that I've gone through. So it's just, it's so weird. It's a weird journey to be on. And I didn't expect for survivorship to be this hard or to look this way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was expecting life to be like after cancer treatment. I think that's what makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it to anyone.
The whole experience, I think, can be summed up with like how it ends. It's like a, okay, bye. Very much like a, okay, bye. You're done. And then it's like, well, wait, that's it?
That's it.
This consumed so much of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just it? Okay, great. Cool, cool. Awesome. Awesome sauce. Love it. Love that for us.
You know what I think they should do? I think they should give us like, when they know that they want to release us, they should be like, okay, I'm going to give you 2 more appointments here, and then that's going to be your last. Just to kind of gear us up, because you can't, I've given you 2 years of my life, and you've just said at the last appointment, which I didn't realize would be the last appointment, for you to be like, okay, I'll see you next year. What do you mean next year? So I don't need no more scans. I don't need, that's it. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's interesting.
Okay. Because I know this hospital like the back of my hand. So. Cool. Okay. I'll see you next year then.
All right, bye.
Bye. Yeah.
The come down is, I just hate calling it a come down. It's hard. I think I remember it really, really clearly. Ending treatment and just being really annoyed by how slow normal was coming back, you know, how long it was taking for me to get back to normal. What I didn't know is that, or rather didn't realize was that, you know, normal does not exist anymore. This is your new normal, Buki. This is your new normal, stink. Okay. This is the new normal. So whatever you were expecting it to look like in your old life, that does not exist anymore.
No.
And so when I ended treatment, I think maybe a week later, if even that, I got RSV. And I remember this is kind of when it all hit me of like, oh, I remember calling the hotline, the number that they give you when you're in treatment. And it's like, oh, if you experience a fever, you know, call this number. And thankfully, I never had to use it while during any of my 6 rounds of chemo until the very last one. And so I remember calling them, which I didn't want to. I didn't want to call a doctor. But I know. I'm stubborn. But I was sick. Both of the boys were sick. And I was running. I think it was like a 102, 103 fever. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm going to just thug it out. I'm good.
Girl.
I'm going to lay down. And I remember Chris saying, he just got so frustrated with me. And I remember him like uttering under his breath. I don't even think it was under his breath. I think he actually said it out loud. He was like, I can't take care of 3 kids. And I was like, excuse me. I was like, drag me, Monique. Okay. Like,
yes. Wow.
And that was like the first time out of that entire like experience where he was visibly frustrated with me.
Yeah.
Like he had been so patient, but I could see like it was just, he was so afraid. And like, it's, I think he was just scared of, you are running a very high fever. Please call somebody.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking care of 2 very sick kids. And now you're acting like you don't want to call anybody. So I remember finally calling them because I was like, you know, he's right. I'm being stubborn. I think I was texting a friend of mine and she was like, girl, if you don't call.
Yeah.
Do you need me to call the doctor? And so I remember calling and they were like, oh, well, you can just go to the urgent care. And I was like, wait, what?
No.
Because, you know, I'm thinking, I'm calling you, I just finished treatment, and I'm thinking you're going to, you know, be like, oh, oncologist going to meet you at the ER.
Yeah, basically.
Head right there. Head, come straight to the hospital so we can check on you and see about you. She was like, no, you can go to the urgent care.
No, I absolutely will not. Where's my team?
Hello. So I was like, oh, okay. So I went to the urgent care. You know, I was like, what else am I going to do?
Okay.
And I remember at my next appointment, whoever I saw in the practice, I was like, you know, they sent me to the urgent care, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, let me tell you about yourselves. Y'all sent me to the urgent care. And so that was like my first kind of instinct of like, oh, okay, I am no longer kind of a high priority patient. I am done with treatment. My numbers are looking great. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. God, we love that for us. But I was like, I need like a ramp. I need like a runway or something to this. I don't need you to just snatch away all the care at the same time, you know, because this is it's taken up so much space, physical and mental space in my life. And now you're telling me that I can just go back to doing what I was doing?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Doesn't make any sense to me. And so I do remember those early days just feeling like a bunch of forced normalcy for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was November, never forget it. And so I remember that Thanksgiving, I was recovering now from this RSV. So I was now recovering from RSV. Mm-hmm. I was maybe like 2 weeks out from treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the kitchen cooking a full Thanksgiving meal, girl, like sweating bullets.
Girl.
And Chris is like, you know, we can, you know, just order something.
We can order.
I was like, no. You know, I like cooking Thanksgiving. You know, I do Thanksgiving. You know, I like cooking a Thanksgiving meal. I'm cooking this turkey. I'm making my mama's dressing from scratch. Okay. I'm making collard greens. I'm doing this. Okay. I'm in the kitchen cooking like I'm an extra in soul food. Like I am like really
okay.
Doing the absolute most because I wanted life to go back immediately to like, I was just trying to force it.
Right.
I think legit the day after Thanksgiving, if even that, we outside buying a Christmas tree. Like, let's go Christmas tree shopping. We buying a Christmas tree.
Girl.
I was doing so much. And when I look back on it, I mean, it makes me chuckle because I'm like, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
What is you doing, baby?
What is you doing?
So like, I think I leaned on those old patterns of, okay, we're done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how I feel. You're telling me I'm good. You're telling me all I got to do is just be on this maintenance drug. I was on Lynparza for a year. Mm-hmm. And so I actually did have to see my oncologist monthly. So I still got like some kind of touch point.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to do monthly blood draws. So I was still in the mix of, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you're seeing me, but I never saw any of like, you know, my chemo nurses again, who I love. Yeah. You know how you get locked in with your nurse. You get your favorite nurse. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's like, mm-hmm. you're my homie for life. Mm-hmm. So it was always like a different nurse. And, you know, I had touch points, but that was it. It wasn't the level of care. And I was always in that year was only seeing the PA. Like my oncologist, he was like, okay, you're good. So I'm gonna just call you when something's wrong, but you can see her, which also felt like a, okay. I'm not interesting to you anymore. That's cool. That's great. Great, 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 great.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be a good thing. Yeah. I feel like
if we're saying
these things to people who have not been impacted by cancer, they're like, they're probably listening to this like, well, what's the problem?
Exactly. They're listening to this thinking,
Really? Y'all are complaining about being well? Okay, great. Okay. Sure. But are we well? That's the question. Are we? Are we though? So yeah, that was my default. I just wanted to jump headfirst back into kind of everyday life. I also think I just felt this real sense of guilt because I had been out of commission for half the year, both in my home life and also in my work life. And, you know, I felt this need to get back onto the saddle very quickly and then was immediately pushed back off of it a few months later, you know, with when my dad died. And it was, I think that for me was like the catalyst to finally kind of stop and slow down and take a beat. And it also was why, it was a large reason why I started going to therapy. It was really because, and I wrote in my intake form, it was like the why are you here? I wrote, I don't know what to do next. That's what I wrote. I was like, this is everything that's happened to me in the last year, and I don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
And that was that was what I wrote.
It's real and it's honest and yeah. Understandable. Yeah.
And here we are. These nails. This hair. The Carl Thomas sweater. I'm loving it. Is it cold there?
It's not cold. It's bearable, but I'm cold.
Okay. Okay. You're getting in the vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it. And you look great.
I've just had a cup of tea and now I'm so I have a little fan. So... Yes.
You are looking so cozy. Yeah. Just like a warm hug. The lighting. Is there a ring light back there?
Oh, I'm using this fancy strip light.
She has lights.
Yes.
She has a light.
She has lights today. Because the big lights that I've got on are just like, they're kind of dim. They're quite yellow. It just wasn't doing much for me.
Yeah. Faces be oh, these eyebrows. Ugh, I'm having a moment. I'm like processing.
Girl,
this.
Get into it, girl. Get into it, girl. What you wanna know?
The eyebrows?
What you wanna know?
Did you get them threaded?
Waxed and threaded. So attention to detail.
They look spectacular. So did you ever feel like pressure to be grateful even when kind of you felt inside just like completely lost?
Yes, 100%. I think when you tell people or when I tell people that, you know, I'm finished with cancer, finished with, you know, active treatment, it's always immediately, oh, so you're okay then? Oh, so everything's fine? You're back to normal, yeah?
Let me tell you all the ways in which everything is not fine. How long do you have?
And I find it so jarring because hearing that from someone else just makes me close off immediately. Because I'm just like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, whatever. I don't feel that I'm met with grace and understanding from other people. For them to understand, you know what, I'm not actually okay, or I haven't fully processed this, or, you know, I'm going through X, Y, Z at this moment in time. I just find that response just so difficult. And then even when you tell your story and people are like, oh, well, you know, you've got a second lease of life, you know, you should... It's, you know, you got to think about this and yeah, you know, it's you're here for the kids and blah, blah, and yeah. And even when I talk about potentially having like the Dieppe flap surgery, just what that would look like, people are like, you know what, it's not even worth it. I'm like, what if I wanted that?
Right. Don't.
How are you going to tell me that it's not worth it? How are you going to tell me, if that's how I define myself as a woman, if I feel like I've lost a piece of my identity, literally and figuratively, because my old breath is in the hospital somewhere, you're going to tell me, I don't, it doesn't even matter. You've got a second lease of life. It's okay. It's fine. What?
I'm going to let you cook. I'm going to let you cook. Cook, cook, cook.
So you want me to get over active treatment just like that, just blase, blase, just quick, quick, quick. Then people telling you, oh, you know, so what you're going to do next? You should be doing this. You should be doing that. Come on, come on. I'm like, what? And then if I say, you know, oh, I'm thinking about surgery options, reconstruction, blah, blah. Oh, it's not, it's, you know, it's fine. If I was you, I wouldn't even bother. I just, you know, you got secondly.
I'm going to stop you right there. You're not me.
What?
You could have stopped it. If I was you, whatever you start with, I, fun, fancy that. You're not me. How about that? I was going to ask you if you were getting reconstruction. We haven't talked about that.
I'm in two minds. I don't know. I haven't met anyone who has had that surgery after having a full mastectomy like I have. Because usually it's like a mastectomy and then they do the reconstruction at the same time. So obviously you just deal with the recovery process just in one time, really. So I haven't met anyone who would do it in the same way that I have.
You know, this is the best part about having a podcast where people listen to it, because we can say, if you're listening,
yes,
and you know, or you are someone,
yes, reach out.
Tell them what you need, girl. Tell them what you need. What do you need them to do?
Come on, just send us a message. Send us an email at everythingafterpod@gmail.com.
Yes. Let's get our girl.
Okay.
We read every message. Let's get our girl a referral or point. Let's point her in the right direction so she can get some information and some resources.
I don't know what I'm doing out here in these reconstruction streets. Okay. I don't know what to look for. So I'm all confused about it. I don't know what to do. So that's my two cents on that. So yeah, going back to what we were saying. Yes. People need to just be considerate, you know?
Like, absolutely.
I think it's the rush of other people that then I put that pressure on myself to be like, oh, well, I need to get back to normal then, if that's what everyone else is saying. I need to figure out what to do. But doing that just meant that I didn't know where I was heading. I just lost so much of myself in that process that I had no sense of purpose. I didn't know what to do. And it made me feel like something was wrong with me, really, if I'm honest. It made me feel that, well, why isn't it working?
Why that's real.
Going back to normal? Why am I not happy now that I've survived? Why am I not living life? And like I say, it took a long, long time to get to where I am now.
The fact that it's been 2 years, I think that's the piece that I want. If you haven't been through this or anything really, like anything that really, really drastically alters your life,
yeah,
you know, it's taken 2 years to like even be in a place where I know for me, where I could even like sit here and have a long form conversation about it.
Yeah.
You know, not just the bits and pieces, but actually kind of dissect it, and even laugh at some of the bits and pieces of it now. But that's been a process. And I honestly don't know if I would be here so quickly if I wasn't doing a lot of the heavy work with my therapist, you know? I think that has helped kind of move me along a little bit quicker. It's why when anybody asks, well, what's your best advice for, you know, being post-treatment? I'm always quick to say, get a therapist.
100%.
Get to the lady. Because it has helped me so much to just have a space where I can talk about what I'm scared of, my anxiety, like what I'm stuck on. I've noticed the shift in just the almost 2 years that I've been seeing her. And so, yeah, it takes time. It takes time. And I think I would still say I'm like still kind of in the middle of the process.
Yeah.
You know? You had a good birthday. Tell the people what you did. Tell them what you did. What'd you do for your birthday?
All right, so boom. Okay. Boom. Got into town now. Good old city center, right? Went to my brow appointment. She hooked me up. Waxing.
She did. The brows look great. Brows are eating down.
Eating down. But what I will say is, after she done my brows, she was like, oh, and upper lip too? I was like,
hey, don't you hate when they do that?
I already done my upper lip before I left. So thanks, but no thanks. Thank you, but no thank you. Anyways, brows done, nails did, boom. I was like, okay, where am I going to go for dinner? Quick Google search, found where I needed to go. Cool. Walked over there, went in. I was like, table for one, please. She was like, do you want to see the wine menu? I said, absolutely. Yes, I will see that wine menu. Thank you very much. Had the wine, had the starter, had the main, was planning to go elsewhere for the dessert. But then I was like, you know what? I have not had a Cosmopolitan yet, which is my cocktail of choice. Okay. So walking back around aimlessly, pulled up at this bar now that was playing banger after banger after banger. I was like, okay, this is where I need to be. Got the drink now. The lady was like, okay, at 7 p.m., it's happy hour. Cocktails are going to go down. Half price. I said, I will absolutely stay the 20 minutes until 7 p.m. and get another beverage from here. Thank you for letting me know. 7 p.m. came. Drink number two was ordered. I vibing. Okay. Vibing. I got myself a little chair. I was posted up at that bar. Okay. Vibing. Didn't care who was around. Smiling at people as they were going past. Just living my best life. Saw these two girls sitting down there. Now we're just like vibing together now. Now they've invited me on to their table. I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, we can do that. They've got me another drink. I've told them it's my birthday. I'm like, yes. I'm out here doing something that usually would scare me, but we are persevering. It's not even persevering. I'm having fun. I'm actually enjoying this night out.
Yes.
So I'm there with my two besties. We're vibing. We're dancing. Living our best life. Other people come in and join us. We're like, yeah. Before you know it, the staff are bringing out a bunch of flowers and a cake with candles.
Oh my.
Singing happy birthday. I said,
what a moment.
What a time.
I wish that I could have this moment for life.
Basically.
What a moment.
What a moment. So, girl, well, that was the messy middle. But here's what I find completely wild. Even though recovery was nothing like we expected, we both changed in ways that we could never have planned for. So, for you, what's the difference between then and now? What kind of comparisons jump out for you after this this process.
Process, that's what we're calling it. Process. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah.
I will say, I told this to someone recently. I can now call myself a recovering type A and like a recovering people pleaser. I still have some type A tendencies, but it definitely is not as heightened as it used to be. And I don't, are you into the Enneagram at all?
No.
I'm not sure if your Enneagram can change over time as you change, but I will say before cancer, I was an Enneagram 1, which is kind of very consistent with like a type A personality. And post-cancer, I retook the Enneagram test or whatever, and I was a 2. And so if you're into the Enneagram, again, email us. Let me know what all that means. Because I found that interesting. I'm not sure if it can change over time. I need to do more research. But it gave me information of like, okay, my answers to these questions now are a lot different than when I took this test a few years ago. But I think my priorities have shifted a lot. I'm very much becoming one of those people who I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do my job. I'm going to clock in and, you know, I'm going to come to work 8:30-ish. I'm going to be out, be on the road no later than 5. Bye-bye. I'm going to go home and I'm going to work on my own stuff and hang out with my kids. And I find that I'm finding just delight in things more these days. I'm opening myself up to more experiences, saying yes to more things. And that is, it's felt really, really good. It's just felt really good. I'm prioritizing things that truly make me feel good versus, you know, prioritizing, well, if I do this thing, then, you know, I'll get the raise or I'll get the this and the that. You know, I don't want to say I care about that kind of stuff. I don't care as much about that kind of stuff. And then I think I'm also just in a place where I truly know and understand who I am. I think I was chasing before an idea of who I thought I should be. Like I was kind of just like cobbling together identities, you know, of these are people I admire. So these are people who I feel like I should emulate if I want to have the appearance of, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, you know, like if I want to have the appearance of being successful or whatever. Whereas now I'm constantly like, oh no, girl. It's you.
It's all you,
it's
girl.
You. Yeah. It's all you, baby. It's all you, baby. I know who I am. I feel like I am in a space in my life, both as a mom, a professional, a friend, where I am truly kind of, not kind of, I am. I'm showing up as authentically as I can. And, you know, I talk all the time. I think I probably touched on it a bit in the last episode of I'm embodying who I say that I am. Like, not just like saying it, I'm actually becoming that person. Because I think a lot of times we conflate the two of like, oh, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. But then you ain't really doing any of that. I like that person quite a bit. Like I often ask myself, well, would you hang out with you? And I'm like, yes, I would hang out with me. I'm quite a vibe.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I've really, really enjoyed this. Well, enjoyed, don't want to say that. I've really enjoyed certain parts of this process. And when I think about what my life was like 2 years ago and some change, and think about the things that anchor my life now, it it blows my mind, you know? Like, I, to think, me, Tiffany, who had to be low-key talked into having a second kid, because I was really fine with one. I was really fine with one. But realizing that the second kid, this second pregnancy, has just been the thing that has launched me into this really new, confident, authentic era of my life. And to also just see Gabe and think, oh my God, like, how do we ever live our life as a family without you in it? Like, he is just such a calm, peaceful little chaos agent. Like, you know, he's always thinks he's on WWE Raw all the time, but he's just like this chill center of our family. And it just such a great, great kind of completion of our family. And when I think about, like, oh my God, like, there was almost a minute where I even questioned if I even wanted to do this again, because, you know, I had a really traumatic first pregnancy and I was scared the same thing was going to happen. And low-key, the same thing kind of happened, even more in a more grand fashion.
Yeah. The universe doubled down on that one.
Doubled down. I always joke that at their graduation, I'm going to just, my toast is going to be, they tried to kill me.
Hope y'all. Hope y'all.
But yes, I enjoy who I'm becoming. And I have also learned, well, I'm unlearning like what I once thought was, you know, oh, you shouldn't ask for help, or you shouldn't do X, Y, Z, you know, you shouldn't. I'm unlearning a lot of that. And that's also been really, really impactful for me, because I find myself now being more in a space of, well, I need help, and can you help me?
Yes.
I don't mind asking anymore. It's not something I'm toying around with, which, I mean, back in the day, I would rake the ocean before I ask anybody for help. Like, I'm good on it. I'm enjoying this time as best as I can. And I don't know, I'm looking forward to kind of what is next. And it's the worst of it, I hope, is over. But now it's up to me to kind of figure out where to go from here. And the process is still, I don't have it all figured out, but the process is still ongoing. And I like where it's going, you know? But the therapy was the key.
Yeah.
The therapy was the key. I will say it till the cows come home. I don't think I would be in this place where I do have so much clarity without that.
How about you? Go do therapy now.
Yes. It's been a lifesaver for me. I think I would have spun out. I think I would have crashed out behind kind of figuring out what to do next, because I didn't feel anchored at all afterwards. You know, when you're doing treatment, you at least have those anchor points of, okay, I'm going to do my blood work, and I'm going to, you know, see the doctor before chemo, and then I'm going to see the doctor after chemo, then I'm going to do the chemo. Like, you have all these things that at least anchor you to the experience. And then when it's all kind of pulled away, it's just like, well,
there you go.
What now?
Bye.
And so, yes, I plan to see her for as long as she'll have me, to be honest. You know, some days I go in, I don't have much to say. So we just kind of shoot the breeze. And then other days, it's like I could be on there for 2 or 3 hours if she let me. As someone who chronically overthinks, it has been helpful to have someone kind of be like, wait, no, you're over here. You're over here. I need you to come back, like, right here. Immediately in my first session, she clocked my tea. She was like, you forecast a lot. And I was like, oh, all right.
Okay. So you've clocked me already in the first session.
I was like, all righty. So yeah, How about you, girl? How was life? How was life treating you? How was it feeling?
Girl. I know we've touched on it, but I just really want to reiterate how if I had met my previous self, would be absolutely shocked to see this version of me now. With the short hair, the color that I dyed myself.
It looks good.
Even just that alone is like a big step. And then just being more sociable and just being out there and just being present. It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. You look refreshed.
Girl, absolutely refreshing. I'm just like, just trying to put it into words, but I feel like this is who I'm meant to be, supposed to be. This is what I'm meant to be doing. I have purpose. From when I was younger, I was always into like palm reading.
Oh, can I read my palm?
I mean, like, loosely. I'm not going to put that down on my CV just yet. Okay. But when I look at my lifeline, there's always it's a long, dark line. And then there's like a cross section right at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always thought to myself, from like teenage years, I was like, I wonder what that cross section is going to be. And I wonder when I'm going to get to it. And I wonder what that's going to look like. And so in my 20s, I'm going to open up. Trigger warning for anyone that's listening, talking about mental health here. In my 20s, I was really depressed. I had a moment where I was just out of work for a while, didn't really know what to do. Nothing was grounding me. And it really took its toll, really did take its toll on me. I had therapy, had talking therapy, which kind of worked. I don't think I was being truthful in those sessions. So I only got what I put out and I wasn't putting out much. So I didn't get much back. So at that time, I probably thought, oh, well, this isn't really working for me. I was like, girl, was you being truthful? Yes or no? So.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a moment where, you know, you look on the lifeline, that was the cross section there. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to being diagnosed with cancer whilst pregnant. Lifeline, that's the cross section. Finishing cancer treatment, what do I look like now as a cancer survivor? That's the lifeline and the cross section at the bottom. Who I am now, who I'm stepping into, who I'm evolving into, transforming into, that's the lifeline and the cross section at the bottom. And that's where I'm heading now, in a new direction with purpose. And yeah, I just feel like I'm stepping into myself now. And that's a good place to be. And, you know, I'm working on setting boundaries because how can I let someone else dim my light when they don't even have their candle burning? You know? Where's your candle, boo? Mm-hmm. Now, before that, that would cut me up. Someone dimming my light, and I'm not realizing, hey, your light's out as well. Before that would have cut me up. That would have had me in the trenches, like, oh, no, right, okay, so I really have to lock it down because I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I need to really focus. And like, oh, now I'm like, okay, cool. My light's burning bright, baby. And yours? So that's me, baby. That's what I'm trying to do. That is
stallion running. No candle in the wind.
Ah. You won't ever see me coming or going, but you know.
But you know whenever I'm here.
Okay.
10,000 steps towards the time of your life.
Two hands to heaven. Wild horses run wild. Oh.
God only knows why, though.
Why, though? Why, though?
Baby.
I've been waiting
my whole life
for you and I.
What she say? That's the real you. It's the real me.
Can do nothing but envy.
Bliss please.
Yeah. Your love right through me, I love her. Come on. Put my feet over these hips.
She did that.
She did that. That's the good thing. You don't know.
Truly how I feel, though. Like, if we're talking songs that it is just, there's two songs.
Go.
Bigger.
Oh.
Step out your estimate. Step in your essence and know that you're excellent. Bigger and Two Hands to Heaven are like, those are my songs of this season. I mean, because that's really it. It's 10,000 steps towards the time of your life, bit by bit. And when she's singing that last part, that's the real you, it's the real me. I like to sing it to myself because it's like, I feel like I'm finally getting to know the real me. Because it's like, baby, I survived cancer while pregnant. There ain't a damn thing you can tell me anymore.
Come on.
You're upset and you don't want to use your words and you don't want to tell me what's got you upset. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you have that.
All right.
You know, like, oh, you're upset because I said no. Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Still no, because it's a complete sentence.
Yes.
Like, so many things I used to tie myself up in knots about. I'm like, oh, well, what if they didn't understand that I meant it that way? I'm going to say it the way that it needs to be said, and you're going to have to take it the way that you take it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that I really worked on. You're holding stuff in because you're worried about what they're going to think or say. All the while, it's just building up and building up and building up. And then you explode. It's taught me just doing my work, doing my personal work, especially post-cancer, grieving the loss of a parent, like doing that work over the last 18 months I'm shocked I didn't do it sooner, to be quite honest. Like, I'm annoyed at my, if I saw my past self in the grocery store, I'd be like, girl, go to therapy.
Yeah.
And so what would you whisper to your pre-diagnosis self as we're wrapping up?
I think I'd probably say to myself, the version of you on the other side of this is the person you've always wanted to become, but you've been afraid to do it. That's what I'd say.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's what I'd say.
I love this.
The old me would be like, what do you mean? That's never going to happen. What do you mean? Girl. That's you, wait.
Don't believe me, Jeb.
Basically.
That's like a perfect ending right there.
It is.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say, if you're in your own after right now, it's okay if it feels messy. There's no finish line, no neat little bow, and change is ongoing.
And it's okay to grieve who you were before. That doesn't mean you're not grateful. It just means you're human and you're still figuring out who you are on this side of it.
What I wish someone had told me is you don't have to have it all figured out. Survivorship isn't about being inspiring. It's about being honest with yourself.
And we hope our honesty helps someone out there feel a little less alone.
Next time, we are switching gears a bit with an episode we're calling Rapid Fire Reframes. It's all about those things people say, you know, the ones that make you want to scream.
Everything happens for a reason. Stay positive. All those gems. We're breaking them down, laughing a little, and reframing them into what actually helps. If this conversation hit home, we want to hear from you. Email us at everythingafterpod@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at everythingafterpod.
And if you know someone navigating their own before and after moment, whatever that looks like, share this episode with them. Sometimes knowing other people have walked through the fire and come out differently but okay is exactly what you need to hear.
Thanks for being here with us. And also, if anyone has had a DIEP prep surgery after a mastectomy, please get in touch. I really want to know what your decision was for choosing it, your recovery, and all the ins and outs.
We'll see you next time on Everything After.
Click. Girl, we done.
We done. I tried to do the Shan Everything After.
Everything After.
We're done. That was great.